I guess my question back to them would have been, if that role is done, is there something you could pull off your plate and shift your role to something you are excited about and let someone else handle the thing that they're excited about, right? Like everyone should be plugged into the role and duties that fire them up because then they'll do their best work. This is Evolve CPG's Brands for a Better World podcast, featuring purpose-driven leaders who not only believe in better, but actively pursue it. That's better products, better brands, and better leadership for a better world. Thanks to you, our listeners, this podcast is now ranked in the top 10% of all podcasts globally. Let's not stop there, though. You can help us reach more people by taking a moment to leave us a rating or review, which is critical for podcast algorithms, and by sharing your favorite episodes with your network. The more people we reach, the more good we can bring about in this world. If you work in the industry, you can also join our online community where we're going further, faster, together at community.evolvecpg.com. I'm your host, Gage Mitchell, founder and creative director of Modern Species, a sustainable brand design agency helping better brands grow and scale their impact. On this episode, Jordan Buckner from Food Bevy and I dive deep into the subject of passion, how it fuels entrepreneurs, gives us purpose, focus, and resiliency. But what is passion? Where does it come from? And what do we do when we lose it? Keep listening to hear our take.
So Gage, you reached out to me to talk about passion and where it comes from, how it manifests. And I think it's really interesting, especially from the lens of working with a ton of entrepreneurs and CPG companies in particular, because so often you hear and see posts and people saying that you need to be passionate about the product that you are selling, the business that you're in, or else it's going to be a really challenging journey because entrepreneurship is already a challenging journey. If you're not in it for the right reasons, then it's very easy to drop out. And I would love to hear like where you've been seeing passion come up and how it relates to your work as well and your passions.
Yeah, I'm passionate about passion. It's like meta passion or something. So I love chatting about this because I feel like it's what a lot of people are missing out in the world is they kind of go through the motions of their 9-to-5 job and it pays the bills, but it doesn't light them up, you know, it doesn't get them excited. And maybe the thing that gets them excited is this thing they do on the side. Sometimes it's like either their hobby, they're mountain biking, or maybe they have this hobby business on the side, or maybe they're fueled by spending time with the family or something like that. But I've always personally been an advocate of, if possible, I know it's a bit of a luxury and a privilege, but if possible, why not mush your passion and your work and your life and all that kind of stuff all together? Because I've ranted on this before about like work-life balance being a waste of time. I feel like if you spend the biggest chunk of your day working and you're not passionate about it, that's a huge waste of time too, right? You could be spending so much time on your passion. So anyway, I just thought it would be a fun conversation to geek out on. And I love thinking about it from the lens of an entrepreneur.
So I'm going to put you on the spot here too. How would you define passion?
Ooh, define passion. I hadn't thought about that. I guess the first thing that came to mind is like, it's the spark inside of you. It's something that just lights you up. You love geeking out on it. You love thinking about it. You love working on it. It's just something you're pulled towards or driven towards.
Yeah, I don't have a clear one, but I think those are all kind of right on. And for me, it's something that gives you purpose in life and helps you not make like the world a better place. You know, I don't think everyone has to affect the whole world, but to make whatever community you want to reach better. And I think that sense of quest for like improvement, whether it's yourself or your neighborhood, your city, your country, the world, I think that quest for something better is often correlated with passion or closely aligned to that.
Yeah, I like that. I was a little while back doing some research on like passion versus purpose and what's the difference? Are they the same thing? Are they different things? And most of the things I found online suggest that they're different animals. Like, passion is just something that lights you up or whatever. I don't remember the definition, but it's something you're excited about, something you love, etc. And then purpose is something that gives you direction, I think is what they were talking about. So I like the way you're talking about it, though, where I feel like they're kind of a Venn diagram of overlapping circles. You can be passionate about things that maybe aren't your purpose. Sure, like, absolutely. But I feel like if you have a purpose, it's probably in something you're passionate about, in theory, right? And if you don't know what your purpose is yet, I think if you look at all the things you're passionate about and things that the world needs, somewhere in that overlap is going to be your purpose, right? It's that Ikigai model.
I was just I think it's four things.
And maybe I don't know if you're pulling it up right now on your computer, but I think it's like what you're passionate about, what the world needs, what you're good at, and what people are willing to pay for or something. So in the center of that, it's all that's the magic sauce.
It's so strange. I think we've only now had like three actual like conversations, but every time you talk, we think about the exact same thing at the exact same time, because I literally, as we were talking about passion, I was like, oh, Ikigai, like I just pulled up the Venn diagram for that. I was just going to mention it next.
Perfect. So you thought about Ikigai too. So have you done an Ikigai?
Yes. And it's led me towards what I do today. And it's interesting because I've been learning more about it. And I think recently I've seen some things where like the westernized concept of this like Venn diagram of Ikigai is a little different from how it's been traditionally used in Japan. But I think it's still really helpful. One thing that actually kind of changed my viewpoint around passion as well, though, is passion something that is inherent that you have? Or is it something that you can develop by devoting yourself to something new, and the passion comes from the act of doing it?
That's really interesting. Yeah, because my original thought for this conversation was, where does passion come from? And that's exactly what you're alluding to there, is does it already exist and you just need to understand it? Or is it something that gets fueled as you learn more about a subject or get introduced to something? And it's probably both, I would say. Like, here's a good example. I need to now all of a sudden remember this guy's name, but there was a documentary done about a letterpress printer who was just like an IBM engineer or something like that. We worked at some tech company coding. And then he went to a fair, I believe it was, like a Renaissance fair or something, and they were doing a printing demonstration. He saw them like putting type together and inking it up and slapping a piece of paper on there and rolling it through the press or whatever. And something inside of him just lit on fire. And at that moment, he was like, I need to learn how to do this. This is fascinating. I really want to do it. So he went home. I don't know the series of time, but the story goes that he basically quit his job, bought a bunch of presses, and just started printing all the damn time, to the point where, you know, this is the negative side sometimes about a deep passion. I think it ended up causing him to get a divorce and have to move and do all these other kind of things, but he like shifted his life. And then he became this like prolific letterpress printer who's fairly world renowned. I think Amos Kennedy or Paul Amos Kennedy, it was something like that. I'll have to look it up and put it in the show notes. But he does these beautiful letterpress prints with kind of multi-layers of typography and iconography and just roller ink and stuff. But I think sometimes your passion can just be something you stumble upon like that. And then sometimes it's something that was more born in you that you've known about since you were a kid.
Yeah, it's interesting as I think about even my own experience of like what drove me, because I grew up playing soccer since I was 3 years old and played continuously pretty much all year round my entire life until high school. And so I had a lot of hours put in. And I remember specifically, I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was like fun for me. And I remember this moment where it was my senior year of high school. We were playing in like the regional state championship and we lost like a close game. Like, I was disappointed, but like some of my teammates broke down and were crying on the field. And it was as if everything they ever worked towards was taken from them right out of their hands. And I remember feeling so guilty because I was like, I didn't care about this as much as they do. Like, should I have even been out here? Like, am I part of the reason why maybe we didn't win because I didn't like have that passion for the sport and for the game? And after that moment, I barely played soccer again after I played a little intramural in college. But it made me realize that, like, wow, I just really don't care about it as much as some of my teammates did. And I think some of them thought they were, like, going to be professional soccer players and do this for their life, right? And so that's one thing that I did and put tons of time and energy in, but I was never passionate about. And then something else I discovered in the last couple years when I was running my CBG brand T-Squares is that I really liked the product and kind of the mission that we were going for. And I was passionate about that. But one thing that I found throughout that process was in running my own business, I got a chance to meet tons of other founders, learn about their journey, their approach to like building a company and building a business. And I was just fascinated by the process of launching any company, let alone a food company. And it's something that developed into a really strong passion of mine. It's just understanding like the process for starting something from zero to growing it into a thriving thing, and in this case, a thriving business. And I became a student of really trying to break down what it takes to be successful, why companies fail, why people fail, and how to build community to help other people succeed, which is what led me to building Food Bevy. And so it's interesting that that did kind of come out of nowhere versus the thing I put a ton of time into, I ended up not being passionate about.
Yeah, that is interesting. Part of me wants to break that down then, the thing that became a passion, right? Did it come out of nowhere, or were there elements that were already there and then it just got wrapped around a new package? By which I mean, maybe you had some sort of underlying passion for learning something new, or maybe you had a passion for solving problems or helping others or something like that. And then you found this way to do that in a new category or new industry that you then became passionate about because it was a way for you to pursue things you're interested in.
Yeah, I definitely think so. Because one thing that is true is I would say, like, if it was up to me, I would have 100 different businesses and run those, yeah. But I've like come to terms with it that I can't, and that's not realistic. So part of doing this is I can live vicariously through other people as they're running their business, yeah. But it is that like interest and drive to like understand how things work and why things work. I think that came up in the business context. And both of my parents were entrepreneurs, and I come from like a family lineage, a little bit of entrepreneurs. So that's something that I've always found curious. And how about you? Are there any things that you found that you're passionate about?
Yeah, I'll jump on that in a second. But just I quickly searched for that letterpress printer. His name is Amos Paul Kennedy Jr. And the documentary is Proceed and Be Bold. So if anyone wants to hear how someone else's fire was or spark was lit, go check that documentary out.
Nice.
But for me, yeah, I think I also played soccer, another one of our overlaps there. And I also think similarly to you, I had friends who went on to play in college and other things like that. And it was never something I was like watching every World Cup game. I didn't know all the famous players' names. I didn't obsess over whether we won or lost. For me, it was just a fun activity that was a challenge and got some of my energy out. So I would have definitely been in your shoes of looking at the people that were crying over this loss and being like, what's wrong with them? Let's go grab some orange slices.
Right.
But with that said, before I even knew the Ikigai format existed, the way I ended up on my current path is I had been working in a industry I wasn't at all passionate about and kind of burning out and thinking like there had to be something more to what I was doing. So my then wife and I at the time just kind of like took some time off. When we came back, that's a whole other story for another time, but when we came back into the country after traveling for a bit and I was kind of rebooting, I locked myself in a bedroom and just like had a giant piece of paper and just started writing all sorts of things on it. And some of the things ended up being like, well, what am I good at and what am I not good at? What do I like doing? What do I not like doing? Where do I feel like you could actually make some money versus have to give everything away for free. And like, maybe there's a balance of both, because I realized at my previous job, the projects I liked best were the ones we were giving away for free. And so I just kind of like wrote all these kind of things down on a piece of paper and just got stuff out of my mind, and then started circling things or writing down goals. And through that process, it started me on a path. It wasn't as clean as Ikigai of knowing exactly where I wanted to go, but it started me on a path of saying, okay, well, I'm good at design. That's something I know how to do. It's something I can make money off of. I'm passionate about health and wellness and food and other things like that. So maybe that's an industry I could focus on. I also liked working with more purpose-driven companies like nonprofits and stuff. But how do you make money doing that? Because usually they don't have any money. And what's the other part of Ikigai that I'm missing here? What you're good at, what the world needs. I felt like the world, these type of better for the world companies needed good design just as much as the big corporations of the world. So I thought, well, what if there was a agency out there dedicated to helping the little guys or the better for the world brand or whatever get the same level of branding and design service that could help them compete and grow in the market so that they can get more market share or pull some market share away from the quote unquote evil companies out there. And, you know, I use evil in quotes because I don't think they're like intentionally trying out there, like setting up a business to destroy the world. I think just the way they've scaled their business, they end up extracting more than giving back. So that's kind of what pushed me on this path of figuring out how I could use what my magic sauce to help other people make an impact in the world. And I found the same thing that you were talking about, that I'm also like this ADHD entrepreneur that I want to start all the different things and partner with everyone that has some cool skill set that I could learn from, etc. But I can't do all the things. So working with all these companies makes me feel like a little part of all these brands, all these companies that I've worked with, and I get to vicariously kind of live through them, and I get to learn through them, and I get to take those learnings, and I get to help other people on the same journey.
I love that. So I want to put you on the spot a little bit, because you've been doing this for a while now. How do you feel your balance is going? Do you feel like things are fairly well balanced, or are there some areas of that kind of Venn diagram that you're looking to explore better to better align?
Yeah, I think we could like look at balance in a few ways. If we're talking about balance of sleep and exercise and meditation versus work, you know, like that mix, I'd say I'm fairly unbalanced, but I don't think that's because of all the things I'm doing. I think it's just the time and place we're in now. During the pandemic, we kind of leaned up the company, and now that we're have a stronger foundation, we're going to rebuild some critical roles so I can delegate some stuff instead of wearing all the hats. So I think the lack of balance there is just I'm wearing too many hats right now and need to get some of those hats off. Granted, of course, it's also because I take on all these extra projects, but those projects fuel me and make me better at my other work. So I don't necessarily want to give them up. If you're talking about balance of that kind of Venn diagram, I think the journey has changed, right? Like I said in the beginning, like I'm good at design. For me in the beginning, that was like, I'm good at literally doing the design, like drawing stuff, getting in the computer and creating things from scratch. The word design for me has shifted from creating artifacts to following a process that solves problems. So while the way I originally wanted to start, I would say I'm really out of balance because I don't do as that much of the design anymore at our agency. But what I do is I design my business. I design strategies and processes for other people's businesses. And I design communities and so on and so forth. So I feel like I'm still living into it, but it's evolved. And then because I've ended up focusing on the food industry, that lights up my fire for one of my core passions, because mine are design, sustainability, food, and business. So like those four things kind of make up or recipe ingredients in all the recipes for all the projects that I do, right? Just in different quantities. Some are like design and business, some are design and purpose, some are business and purpose, but like they're all kind of overlapping. But I get to do a lot of food related stuff, go to food trade shows and stuff. So I think that part's in good balance. The what can I make money on? I think I'm a little bit of a bleeding heart and I give away too much time, money, and other resources. So I could be doing a better job there.
Yeah, definitely understand that. I'm curious, when you were younger, did you do artwork? I mean, I'm sure you did like some stuff, but like what kind of art did you make?
Yeah, so you were mentioning that you come from a line of entrepreneurs. I do as well. I had both a combination of art and entrepreneurship in my past. And I would say the food part came from my grandmother, who grew up on a farm, was the typical like grow your food, use as much of it as possible, preserve it, freeze it, like make food from scratch for your family. So I learned like a little bit of a passion for food from her, but I learned business from my mom and her father, my grandfather. But my mom and my dad were both artists too in different veins. So I grew up doing projects with them. I think all of my siblings did, but I'm the only one that decided to move in that direction. My other siblings went into science fields and I went into the art field. So I did grow up drawing, sculpting, painting, just making crafts and inventing games, just doing all sorts of creativity stuff. And I still kind of do a lot of that.
I kind of thought so, of course, because I was similar in the vein that I see design holistically. And I like that you mentioned design and business as well, because that's something that I align with. Because when I was younger, I would do watercolors and painting. I play with a ton of Legos and building and architecture. I have two architecture degrees. I've only practiced a week in my life of architecture. It was because I really like the learning the process of art, right? For me, it was less about creating something beautiful and more about how do I use watercolor to turn this vision that I have onto like into reality on paper. And I think that has followed through with me into business and business design as well, similar to you. And it might be the reason why we have less of a focus on making money, because we're more interested in like the art of business versus the financial success of business. And the figuring out the process and how it works is more interesting than just like trying to extract as much money as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be. That's a good way of thinking about it. That it's because people always say it's about the journey, not the destination, right? And if you think about that from a business standpoint, the destination for a lot of people is money, financial freedom, wealth that they can hand down to their children or invest in whatever they want to. But the journey is this crazy, difficult, always challenging path towards solving problem after problem after problem, and it's always changing. I think that's one of the things I love about it, is that it doesn't get boring. Like whenever I've worked just a job, you kind of get to know the job and you kind of master that job and the specific work you're doing. And then you're like, okay, well, what's next? But when you're in entrepreneurship, every quarter there might be a different challenge, whether it's a new client, a new team member, a new partner, some recession coming up, or some trends in the industry, or some new thing you have to solve just constantly along the way. And even though I've been running my business for 14 years now, I still don't know what the freak I'm doing because it changes. It continually grows. But how do you feel like you're doing in your balance, to kind of flip that question back to you? And what are your like core passions, would you say?
Yeah, I feel aligned in terms of the work that I'm doing from the standpoint of, you know, I'm good at putting together processes for helping emerging brands, or like helping businesses like start from the beginning to, I say, like $1 million, $10 million, like that's my core spot. And so I'm able to help a ton of companies around that. I feel like by helping those companies, I like businesses succeeding and thriving. And so I think that's good for the world. It's something that I'm like really passionate about in the process. And there are ways of making money there, albeit not a ton of money, because small brands don't have infinite supply of resources. I would say, like, man, I should have gone into the tech industry. There's a lot more money there.
I constantly say the same thing.
But I'm happy
about it. But I'm not passionate about tech.
I know, exactly. So I like wouldn't really care about it. So yeah, I feel pretty good there. I think, though, my challenge is, because of it, I want to spend even like more time doing more of that work, And I know I share with you, for me, I'm also balancing being home with two young kids, which I love. Yeah. And I love like all the time I get to spend with them. And so one thing that I've had to do is create like a prioritization of like, what are the things I care about and how I want to create like the balance of time in my life. And so by, because of that, I have a certain time limit, and not just time, but just like mind space limit in terms of thinking about like the business. And so I'm kind of constantly hitting up against that where I'm like, oh, there's so much more like stuff I want to do. And like, I get really excited for Mondays because people will actually like respond to my emails and work and do stuff. And like working over the week, we're recording this on a Saturday, right? Like I'm always doing stuff on the weekends because I genuinely enjoy it. I never want to really stop, but it's just kind of hitting that what's possible for my time. So I've, similar to you, like I've had to turn down really great kind of opportunities just because I just don't have the capacity for it, which is a little disappointing, but something that I've come to terms with.
Well, that's interesting because I feel like the burden of passion is that it's harder to turn off, right? If you just work a 9-to-5 job that you don't care about, it makes money, it pays the bills. I feel like it's probably easier to just say, okay, I'm out the door. Now I'm with my family and I don't have to think about that job anymore. Whereas when you're passionate about what you're doing, especially if you're the entrepreneur, you're also responsible for how that company is doing. It's hard to turn it off. So I'm fascinated by what you just said. How do you turn that off? How do you make that switch when it's a passionate thing that won't turn off in your brain? There's got to be some sort of process you follow to like shut things down and say, okay, I'm at home now. I'm shifting to this other passion of my family.
So I don't. And I think that that's fine based on my balance. What I do try to do is be in the moment of where I am and what's going on. And so if I'm like playing with my kids, right? Like I will be focused in terms of like playing with them and try to put my phone away unless there's something urgent so I can like be present and in the moment. But of course, like in the back of my mind, I'm like running through some other things also. But I also will play games with them. So my 3-year-old the other day, we caught her in another room by herself sitting there like trapreneur. Like she was practicing how to say the word entrepreneur. Yes. On her own, which is totally something that she would do. And then just like we weren't teaching her the word. She like heard us talking about it and just started practicing how to say it. And then the rest of the day, she's like running around like entrepreneur, entrepreneur. And then in her games that she's playing, she's like, I open up a morning breakfast restaurant and they sell bagels and sandwiches and mangoes. You want to buy some? Like, so she's like, I get to play like with her around creativity and things like that. So I think like that's the positive side where I subscribe to the belief of what I call work-life flow, where similar, instead of trying to like balance half home life and half work, I just see everything flowing together and being intertwined. And they're all things that are important and passionate. And so I don't try to put those restrictions on it because sometimes like personal things will come into, you know, work times, and that's totally fine. One thing that on the bad side though, is there's one night where I literally was sleeping and designing a presentation that I had to give like a couple days away in my sleep. Actually, it's probably the next day. And like, I literally built out all the slides like while I was sleeping in the dream. And I woke up the next morning and like built the slides.
I'm laughing because I had totally done the exact same thing. And sometimes you come up with great stuff while you're sleeping. My problem is once I wake up, there's a limited amount of time until all those dream ideas just go away. So I wish I had a better way to like hit record in my dream, be like, okay, let's record this thought for a moment because that's a great slide deck.
Well, I'm sure you're the same way. I'm like, was that really that great or was I just dreaming so it felt great? And it was actually like made no sense.
You actually map it out. And yeah. You're like, what is this? Why is there this elephant in this middle of this presentation? Yeah, that's true. It could be that.
Here's a question that I have come across just yesterday. A founder reached out to me and, you know, they've gone through a couple pivots in their business And they said, they're like, I realize I'm just not passionate about this business anymore, right? Like, it's really hard. It's really tough. And they're looking at moving out of the day-to-day behind it. And I guess the question is, do you keep doing something if you, or do you stop doing something if you lose passion? Do you keep doing what that thing is and try to regain it? Like, how do you know, and maybe just in general for business, like, how do you know when it's good to keep going if things are going poorly? And how do you know it's time to change course?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in that conversation. But I think where my mind goes with some of that stuff is, I need to find a better way to say this. But in my mind, I often think if you're not growing, you're dying. By which I mean, in nature, if something's not in a cycle of growth, it's usually then in a cycle of death, by which I mean it's decomposing or it's whatever else, right? So I feel like with humans, with our interests, our passions, our knowledge, etc., if you're not using those things and fueling them and pursuing them, they're going to decay and go away. And I think I use this advice more for people who are working in a job. And I tell them, like, if you're not growing in that job, if you're not still being challenged, if you're not getting new skill sets, if you're not fired up about the work, then yes, it's time to move on. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to leave that company. You could ask for a different role in that company that has more challenges or more interesting to you. So from an entrepreneur standpoint, that's interesting. I think it's harder to leave when you're the owner or the one in charge, right? But I guess I would have, my follow-up question would be, is it your role that you're no longer fired up about? Or is it the company, the purpose, the, you know, the core business that you're not passionate about anymore? Did you lose your fire for that problem you're solving with that business? Or do you just not want to do that role anymore? Because I think with entrepreneurs, we each have like the stages of business that fire us up, right? Some people are just starters. They love getting something off the ground, getting it going for a couple of years, and then they check out, because they want to work on the next shiny object. Some entrepreneurs love the growth phase where it's like, great, this is off the ground. Let me take it over. Or maybe they help start it or whatever, but they're really excited about figuring out how to grow something from a $500,000 to a $5 million business or something. And then I feel like a little less common is somebody who's fired up about the maintenance part, at least as an entrepreneur. I think that's where a lot of people just start hiring CEOs or presidents to kind of take over. So maybe this entrepreneur that you're talking about is just kind of hitting that phase where they're like, I did my parts and I'm not fired up about this next phase of the business, or maybe the business is struggling and that part's not the problem they want to solve. They liked the early days or something. So I guess my question back to them would have been, if that role is done, is there something you could pull off your plate and shift your role to something you are excited about and let someone else handle the thing that they're excited about, right? Like, everyone should be plugged into the role and duties that fire them up, because then they'll do their best work.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. So I think that framework is good, because in their case, the business isn't financially viable. And they're like failed manufacturing runs and stuff, which totally happens. And it got to a point where like the business just hasn't been able to get off the ground for various reasons. And they're, you know, burnt out, which is totally understandable. I also, I didn't talk directly, but there's a founder that I know who has built a good business. They had bigger growth intentions, but realized that the business is kind of like, they're in the period where they're just going through steady, profitable growth, but they're maybe doing like $5 million. And from what I know about them, the business is good. It's making them money, but it's not seeing exponential growth, which I think is what they were originally interested in, and seeing the business grow. And so like, what do you do with this job? You know, I guess at a certain point, it maybe for them feels more like a job. And it's like, fine, but it's not exciting anymore. And they don't feel the same level of passion. but it's your livelihood and it's making you money. Do you continue with that? Do you try to like completely change the business and maybe lose money for a little bit while you're changing it? Like, how do you, I guess that can be the double-edged sword. If you've made something that's successful, but you're not passionate about it, do you leave it?
Yeah, I think I've met some serial entrepreneurs, like you and I would probably be somewhat described as that. Like, we've got multiple businesses at once and we keep launching new businesses. But I've met some who are like to the extreme where they've got like 15 different thriving businesses, right? And I think that type of person is the starter, right? They like getting something off the ground, they like designing the business, and then they're okay just delegating it to someone else and handing it off. And I think I've heard, especially through the recession or tough times and through the pandemic, where people were kind of like trying to deal with death and illness and trying to figure out, okay, well, am I still passionate about this? So there was both economic tough times and cultural / health tough times that caused a lot of people to rethink. So I've been hearing of a lot of people saying like, I don't know if I want to keep running this business anymore. Anyone want to come buy this, or can I hire someone to run it? But I think it's totally okay to get to a stage of the business where you're like, you know what? My magic sauce, what I bring to this world, is no longer being utilized well in this company. And you have two options, either sell it or bring a partner or hire someone to manage it. And I think it's probably a matter of, if it looks like the company is still going up, just not necessarily firing you up, that's a great opportunity to just hire a president or a CEO or whatever, and you move into like more of a board role or a chief vision officer role and kind of move on. Like John Rulak with Nutiva, right? He built that business for like 20 years. And then he was like, you know what? I want to start this other company. I think it's called like Rebotanicals or I don't know, something like that. But he wanted to shift into something else. So he just promoted his, I think it was COO, Steven, to take over the CEO role and moved into a chief vision officer role. And he like was still sort of involved, but not on a day-to-day basis, right? I think that's what a serial entrepreneur might do, is just say, keep things that are working, but move on to the next thing when you need more of that kind of fuel, or you've stopped using your magic skills. But if the business isn't doing well, I think a lot of people have a hard time shutting something down because it feels like quote unquote failure to admit that it's not working and shut it down. But easier said than done. But in my opinion, if it's not working, either redesign it or shut it down and move on to the next thing. Especially if you were like passionate about a subject or a industry, there's many solutions to that problem that you're passionate about. It's okay to let this one go and move on to the next.
Yeah. One thing that I've been talking with a lot of founders about is the idea that even though your business might have failed or is no longer viable, it doesn't make you, the person, a failure, right? It's a learning opportunity that you can grow from. And I'm very, very pro people pivoting their life and their situation to make it work for them versus feeling beholden or stuck in a situation just because maybe from the outside it looks like they should keep going when they feel like it's not right. There's always that sense of like, I think from external pressure of like, oh, maybe if I just keep going, then success is around the corner, because every hero's journey ends up with difficult times. It's never supposed to be a straight line to easy. But what's that level of, when do I continue to push through it and when do I stop? And a lot of times it's when the founder decides it's no longer worth it for them. And I know a lot of people are saying things like, you know, businesses don't shut down. They only shut down when like the founder quits. And which there's some truth to that, but I feel like it creates a negative stigma around founders quitting, right? Because quitting is never construed as a good thing, when in a lot of cases, it can be a good thing for people, for their mental health, for their financial health, to leave a company, even if it's one that they started, to do something else.
Yeah, no, that's a good like stigma that should be brought up more in the industry, is it's okay to move on, and it's okay for a business to not be relevant anymore. Like maybe it was thriving when you launched it because it was the only product in that category and in the world needed it. And then 20 other products showed up and your company's not needed anymore. that's okay. That's okay to move on and be like, okay, I'm moving on to the next project. Or it's okay to say, this fired me up for 5 years, but now I'm really excited about this other idea. I'm either going to let that one go or I'm going to hand it off to someone else. And that's okay too. I think people definitely need to get more comfortable with letting go. And I think a little Buddhism practice for everyone of impermanence, I think, would be good for everyone to think about, in that most of our anxiety in the world, as the Buddhist practice teaches you, is trying to control things you can't control. And one of those things is permanence. Nothing's permanent. We're not permanent. Our businesses aren't permanent. Our job's not permanent. Our relationships aren't permanent. And the more we try to hold on to those and make them permanent, the more anxiety they cause us. But if we just enjoy them for the time we get to have with them and be okay with the fact that that may not be around forever, but there's going to be plenty of other things here and there that fill in the gaps, then maybe we could be a little more okay with letting a business go. Because in the grand scheme of things, as long as you're moving on and doing something that fuels you up, who cares if it was that business or this business or some other business? As long as you're fired up and doing cool stuff in the world, that's all that matters.
I love that. And I can tell you it was really hard. So with my business, T-Squares, we shut down during the pandemic, but there were some other issues that were going on before then. And it was really challenging. I've been sharing this recently. It took me a while to really process it. But at one point, I had the first and only panic attack that I ever had in my life, where I literally found myself on the floor, like couldn't breathe. My mind was cloudy. My wife had to get me like a paper bag, and thank goodness she was there just to like help me through it, because I like completely broke down and didn't know what to do. And I realized it was the situation of stress going on with the business. And it's like, wow, this is taking a toll on my psyche and my mental health, and it's not worth moving forward. But even then, it was really, really challenging to shut down that business. And I felt like I was letting down not only my business partners, our investors, our customers, but also my entire network within the food and beverage community. I was like, wow, everyone's going to see me as a, like having a failed company. And it took me a while to get through that. And I just had to proceed anyway. And we actually like just legally shut down the business like a week ago, basically. And so it's been like 2 years in the coming just to even get that, make that possible.
Was that just because of how long it took, or were you holding on to it?
How long it took, legal paperwork and filing final tax returns and getting signatures from everyone, things like that. So looking to like move on to finally like have some closure and move on to the completely to the next journey. But I realized that was holding me back. And if I would have stuck through T-Squares, it probably like the, if I stuck in, the business could exist now, right? Like we could have pivoted, we could have completely changed our model based on the pandemic. We could have like kept going, but I would be in a much worse. The current work that I'm doing, like I feel like I'm thriving. I'm better off from that, both like mentally and professionally and where I am with my life, and see like a bright future. I've now designed a business where if I did the work that I'm doing at Food Bevy for the rest of my life and like not sold or anything, like I'd be perfectly happy.
Right. Yeah, totally. I think that's part of the challenge, is that there are these fears of how we'll be perceived, or there's fears of, you know, letting ourselves down or whatever that hold us back. And for most people, until our pain of being in that situation is greater than the fear of changing the situation, we don't change. But once that pain becomes big enough, like panic attacks or health scare or bankruptcy, I don't know, like there's tons of different pains that could be greater than that fear. But like that's the trigger moment for a lot of people, is they're forced into it. But, you know, hopefully through conversations like these, we can inspire people to say, you know what? I'm just going to make the pivot before that pain gets so much. I'm going to look at these fears in the face. And I'm going to say, okay, does it really matter if I close this company? Probably not. 99.9% of businesses close. That doesn't make you a not good business person. It just means that business wasn't working at this place and time, and you can move on and do something else. It's like I think you were saying before, if you don't identify as a failure, but just say that business wasn't thriving at the moment, but you as a person aren't the failure, right? You can move on and do something else. And in fact, I would almost say that's a point of pride to recognize that this wasn't working and I'm going to pivot into something else. That's like a level of confidence that I think not that many people have. Like, some people will struggle through for 20, 30 years trying to make something work, pushing that rock up that hill, when there was probably many signs along the way that they could have pivoted to something else, been happier and much more successful, but they just could not let this rock slide back down the hill.
I think that's a great analogy for that. And so I think that's a great place to end this conversation and talking about passion and everything that we've been doing. I hope that everyone listening has had some takeaways from a little bit of our rambling conversation, but really just want to go into some of these deeper topics that we face as founders and just people in the world.
I love it. It's always a pleasure to geek out on stuff with you and find all of our overlaps, but also find the areas or aspects of you and your experience that I haven't experienced that can teach me a little bit more or inspire me. So thanks for the conversation.
Thanks, Gage. Same here.
Thanks for listening. If you like the format of this show, the more conversational deep dives into a subject, please shoot us a message at evolve@modernspecies.com and let us know so we'll do more of them. If you want to learn more about Jordan Buckner or Food Bevy, visit foodbevy.com. That's foodbevy.com. Subscribe to our podcast and YouTube channel for more innovator interviews, expert advice, and leadership discussions. If you like this episode, leave a heart, thumbs up, or review, and share it with your colleagues. As an ever-evolving show, we also love feedback, so send us ideas for who we should talk to next to evolve@modernspecies.com. And of course, if you work in the industry, come join our community at community.evolvecpg.com, and we'll go further, faster together.